This is the Table for Two edition of the Deliberate Talks podcast, and I'm Dakshin Adyantaya, here to navigate the frontiers of our evolving world with thought leaders who dare to look beyond their status quo. In today's episode, we dive into the industry that's on the verge of monumental revolution. It's an industry where technology intersects with one of humanity's most fundamental interests, sex. Yes, we're talking about a growing movement that's aiming to bring a change, advocating healthier and more open conversations around sex education and the role of technology within it. And in the forefront of the movement is an industry disruptor, a pioneer, and our guest for today's episode, Cindy Gallup. Cindy is the founder of Make Love Not Porn, the world's first social sex video sharing platform, normalizing sex to make it easier for everyone in the world to talk about it openly in order to promote and instill good sexual values and behavior. Apart from this, Cindy has spent over 30 years in brand building, marketing, advertising, and in 2003 was named as the Advertising Woman of the Year. Cindy was also named as one of the 15 most important marketing strategist thinkers of today by Business Insider. In our today's conversation, we discuss about the role of sex tech in changing societal attitudes and also unique potential it holds for empowering women and promoting healthier and consensual sexual relationships. All this with Cindy Gallup, right after this short intro.
This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures.
Hello, Cindy. Welcome to the show. How you been?
Good. I'm delighted to be here.
Awesome, Cindy. And I'm going to start this conversation with a warm-up question. And I'm going to ask you to tell me, if you didn't call it Make Love Not Porn, what would you call it?
Honestly, I can't think of any other name because Make Love Not Porn just encapsulates my business so perfectly. Right. And, you know, it's interesting, Dakshin, because, you know, back when I started Make Love Not Porn 14 years ago, in its original iteration as a clunky little porn world versus real world site, you know, at the time it was a side venture. And I thought, I'm going to create something of a public service here. You know, I need to call it something that is short, memorable, where I can buy the URL. Make Love Not War, Make Love Not Porn. That's about as much thought as went into it at the time. Little did I realize that I now own the definitive call to action in this arena. Because True. Every day, hundreds of young people hashtag Make Love Not Porn across every social channel and think they're the very first person who ever thought of saying that. And, and you know, when I meet people, they ask what I do. When I say I'm the founder and CEO of Make Love Not Porn, without even knowing exactly what it is, they know exactly why it exists. So, I mean, I really can't envisage any other name.
Right. And tell me about the day when you had this discussion. You know, what went behind it saying this is the name? What was that conversation like?
Well, it was only me, you know, because Make Love Not Porn is kind of an accident. It started as a little side venture, as I said. And so that was just me saying to myself, yeah, Make Love Not Porn makes sense. And makelovenotporn.com is available and makelovenotporn. A whole bunch of other, you know, URLs that I've bought. So, yeah, that was it.
It goes great in the T-shirt as well, in the merchandise.
Exactly.
The files. Awesome, Cindy. I'm now going to begin our round of insightful discussions with something you recently mentioned in one of your talks. And that is Make Love Not Porn's sixth highest source of traffic comes from India. And now this is a country where sex is still a hush-hush conversation. And it continues to be a very sensitive topic amongst friends and family members. Now, as an individual or as Make Love Not Porn, how do you approach this?
Sure. So great question, Dakshin, because ever since I launched Make Love Not Porn, in its original iteration, 14 years ago with my TED Talk, people from India have been writing to us all the time, especially young people, by the way, saying, you know, we need Make Love Not Porn here in India. Please launch a local version. And so for years, I've been trying to find on the ground Indian investors to fund Make Love Not Porn India, because we're tiny bootstrapping. I'm working to raise funding for Make Love Not Porn generally at the moment. And so I need funds and partners to be able to do this. And I have a very specific strategy for markets like India, China, where young people write to us all the time as well, for how we would launch Make Love Not Porn in markets where there are, you know, very strong repressive scenarios around anything to do with sex. Despite the fact that, as you spotted, you know, without doing any promotion in India, India has been our sixth highest source of traffic for years, which gives you some idea of how much India wants us. So there are two principles of approach. First of all, I would use funding to hire an Indian team because this is really important. You know, Make Love Not Porn India will be to all intents and purposes a homegrown business. You know, it would absolutely be redesigned and repackaged and represented to be an Indian venture that absolutely takes into account Indian culture and sensibilities. And by the way, the core business will absolutely be the same, because I can promise you that there will be, you know, no shortage both of Indian members and Indian contributors, or as we call them, Make Love Not Porn stars. But we would absolutely redesign the way we operated in India to be localized. And then the second principle is, in a market like India, this would absolutely not be about going in and going, whoopee, Make Love Not Porn is here. I believe that change happens from the bottom up, not the top down. Every one of us, every day, taking small actions to change the world the way we want to see it change, cumulatively adds up at scale to enormous impact. So I would want to launch Make Love Not Porn at a grassroots level in India, speaking to our core audience, who are millennials and Gen Z. You know, the generations that have grown up with porn need us and know why they need us. And I would want to effectively rise without trace, by which I mean, by the time there's a much broader public awareness of the fact that we are there in India, we are doing so much good that no one can argue with the positive, beneficial social impact. So that's how I would approach it.
Right. And you did mention this, that you have already approached a couple of people in terms of funding and everything else. When you talk about India as a market, how do the investors behave for a model like this?
Sure. So I've talked very broadly to a number of Indian audiences about this. And honestly, everybody says, oh my God, this is so needed. Especially, you know, one of the things I'm working to raise funding for at the moment at a global level, but this would absolutely embrace India as well, is I want to build the 0 to 18 and beyond expansion of Make Love Not Porn, which is what I describe as the Khan Academy of Sex Education. Because Khan Academy tutors on every other topic under the sun except this one. Educational technology, edtech, is exploding, but not in this area. And so I want to build makelovenotporn.academy. I bought the URL many years ago. There's a very old holding page there. And this will basically be built out on the same principles of makelovenotporn.tv, which are user-generated, crowdsourced, curated revenue share. Because I'm not about reinventing the wheel. Make Love Not Porn Academy is an aggregation play. I want to build the go-to global hub for the best of the world's sex education content. So the way this will work, and you know, anybody from anywhere can fund the academy. So anyone who's listening, you know, absolutely hit me up. But the way this will work is we'll build a platform for the academy, and we will then invite sex educators all around the world to share with us their own content, materials, videos, books, comic strips, whatever it may be. This will be for sexual health and wellness experts to share their content, sex therapists to share their content, anybody informing and educating in this entire area. Now, we will curate, because at the heart of everything Make Love Not Porn does lies human curation. We only ever publish what we have approved and endorsed, which is why, by the way, you know, we are the safest place on the internet. There's no self-publishing of anything. We human curate everything. And then we will segment all of this content. We'll publish it segmented by age appropriateness. So what that means is if you are a parent freaking out going, oh my God, my six-year-old just asked this question, what do I say? You know, here's where you would find age-appropriate tools and content to be able to have that conversation with a six-year-old. If you are a teacher with a class of 14-year-olds, here are your age-appropriate teaching materials. If you're an adult, access all areas, because adults are desperate for all of this information as much as anybody else. But the important thing, Dakshin, is that the academy will be where children and young people can access sex education without parental teacher gatekeeping. And here's why that's important. I have a friend who's a mother, and as you have to these days, she monitors her kids' browsing history. And so this incident happened a few years ago. Her son was 8 years old. She saw that on the family computer, he had Googled sex for children. She was, huh? You know, oh my God, but did the right thing, stayed calm, sat him down, went, darling, you know, I see you've done this. Talk me through why. And this anecdote is adorable and horrifying in equal measure because her son wanted to learn about sex. He was a child. He knew he was a child. He wanted to learn about sex in a child-appropriate way. So sweetly and innocently, he Googled sex for children. You can imagine what came back. The poor kid was utterly traumatized. So the academy will be where an eight-year-old boy can enter his age, and we will only serve him age-appropriate sex education content. Now, some of this will be free to access, per that example, but we'll also charge to download, subscribe, bulk buy if you're a school. There are different revenue streams, different use cases. We're talking a huge revenue generator, by the way. And we will then split the income 50-50 with its creators, the educators, in the same way that at Make Love Not Porn we currently do with our Make Love Not Porn stars. And the reason for that action is because right now, nobody goes into sex education to make money. I have friends all around the world who are brilliant sex educators. They face all the same challenges I do. Their content gets blocked on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. They're not allowed to advertise. They can't make a living doing this. They've had to take other jobs to survive. I want to change that because this is enormously valuable work. And, you know, I'll give an example of, you know, an Indian friend whose work I'm dying to showcase, the brilliant Paramita Vora, you know, whose background is filmmaking. She started this wonderful company, Agents of Ishq, you know, that they create Indian, culturally appropriate, sensitive sex education content. It's fantastic. You know, they do videos that spoof Bollywood musical numbers to make points about consent. And they just produce the most amazing content. And every time they produce something new, I share it, you know, across my social channels. But some years back, I said to Paro, you know, honestly, your videos are brilliant. Why do they only get like 50,000 views on YouTube? And she said, because I cannot distribute these within India. I mean, I cannot showcase these in India in the way they should be. And so I want to change that for her. But also, imagine the appeal, not only for audiences in India, but the entire Indian diaspora all around the world, of be able to access sex education content that is by your community, for your community.
You know, because you mentioned academy, and this is something of my personal interest as well. A couple of years ago, I actually wanted to get into a school-level education factor as well. Now, when I spoke to a couple of parents who were a part of the digital marketing training program, they were entrepreneurs. And, you know, one of these fathers came to me and he said, you know, I need to have a conversation with my 7-year-old daughter who came to me and asked, Dada, what is the meaning of fuck? And his first reaction was, where did you learn that word from, right? And she said, it's because my friends around just keep talking about the word and telling it around and just casually using it in the classroom. Now, he's worried about it. And when we got into a deeper conversation, we started talking to a couple of schools. The schools blame it on the parents, saying they don't want it to be a part of the conversation. The parents blame it on the schools, saying they're not having a safe conversation around it. We're not sure whether it should be in the open along with the other peers. Now, the beautiful part about it, when you spoke about the 8-year-old kid trying to access porn, right? In this also comes another conversation related to when schools and children are not really aware of it, what they're exposed to is certain things like revenge porn or online cyberbullying or all those aspects of it, which comes along with it because of lack of education. Now, in a process like this, how does Make Love Not Porn step into it, probably, or of, you know, sex tech entrepreneurs find this as an opportunity to have this conversation with schools and more than parents?
You're absolutely right. If only I can get the funding for the academy, that will provide all the resources anybody could want, parents and schools alike. And the reason it's so important that this is funded, Dakshin, is because, as I said, nothing like this currently exists. There are a lot of very good sex education initiatives all over the internet. I have a network of brilliant sex educator friends all around the world, but it's really hard to find, especially because double standards and hypocrisy apply as much to Google and to search and to social channels as the world at large. You know, even if you go looking for healthy sex education, you can't find it because it's blocked, it's censored. So that's why the academy is so important. And in the meantime, ahead of that, you know, I've been giving parents two important pieces of advice for many years. And again, I really want the academy funded because then I can stop doing this myself. But here's what I say to parents. And, you know, this is also what I would advise schools to think about. So I say to parents, these days, you cannot begin talking to your child about sex too early. And when I say that, I don't mean literally talk about sex. What I mean is the very first time your child asks the question, you know, where do babies come from? The very first time they play with their genitals, you know, whatever. The most important thing isn't even what you say as much as how you say it. What I say to parents is never, ever get visibly flustered. Never get embarrassed. Never shut the conversation down. Never leave the room. Don't, you know, don't change the topic. Instead, answer your child calmly, straightforwardly, honestly. Because when you do that, you open up a channel of communication for them around this whole area that will always be there for them as they grow older. And you really want that to be the case. Okay. You know, I find it funny, Dakshin, because all parents want is for their children to be happy. We are talking about the area of universal human experience that will impact their child's happiness more than any other. And so if you are not willing to engage in open communication with your child about this, then you are consigning your child to unhappiness. I guarantee it. Okay? And then the second thing I say to parents is today, when you talk to your child about sex, you must also at the same time talk to your child about porn. Especially because the average age today at which a child is first exposed to hardcore porn online is 8 years old, you know, and in fact, studies done years ago indicated it's as low as six. And this is a lot easier to do than most parents think, because all you do is you say a version of what I'm about to give you and you dial it up or down depending on the age of the child. So you say to the child, so darling, we just talked about sex. And you know how together we watch movies and videos and cartoons where things happen that aren't real. Well, there are also movies and videos about sex, and they're not real either. And because of that, they can be quite confusing. And so we would rather you did not watch them till you're older. But if anybody ever shows you anything like that, or you stumble across it, come and talk to us. We can explain it. That's all you have to say. Because just by saying that, you've done two very important things. The first is you've set up in their minds, when they stumble across porn, as they will, that it's not real. And the second thing is you've said, come and talk to us about it. And it's very important that you encourage them to do that, because what children stumble across online today can be utterly traumatizing.
True. What I really also want to touch upon is from the industry perspective, right? Now, from a business standpoint, given societal, cultural, and legal challenges like we earlier spoke about, how did you navigate these challenges from different countries' perspective, not just India? I'm sure when you started, you also, you know, came across a lot of other challenges. What are some of the lessons that aspiring sex tech entrepreneurs can learn from your journey?
Sure. So, for 14 years, Dakshin, I've parallel pathed two things, working to build Make Love Not Porn and working to change the business and cultural context around it. Because when you have a truly world-changing startup, you have to change the world to fit it, not the other way around. So, you know, I did not realize when I embarked on this venture that I and my tiny team would fight enormous battle every single day to build it. Basically, because every piece of business infrastructure any other tech startup can take for granted, we can't. The small print always says no adult content. And that is all pervasive, you know, across funding, banking, payments, tech services. And, you know, what I can tell you is it's a very good thing that what most motivates me is the dynamic that I characterize as, you know, and I'll censor myself slightly for this podcast, you know, I'm going to bloody well show you. You tell me it can't be done, I'm going to bloody well show you. You can obstacle my path, I'm going to bloody well show you. So I have managed to take Make Love Not Porn to a level of social and business acceptance that no other sex tech venture has achieved. And the great thing is that 14 years later, the barriers are falling because people understand how necessary we are. So 14 years ago, I was the very first person to stand up on a stage publicly at TED and identify that when we don't talk openly about sex, porn becomes sex education by default in not a good way. Today, 14 years later, you can't turn around without falling over a media headline going, oh my God, kids and porn. You know. So the good thing now is that everybody understands the issue and everybody understands why at Make Love the Porn we're doing what we're doing. And so I am absolutely breaking down those barriers and seeing them fall because of that.
Super. Tell me some of the remarkable insights, facts, stories that have made women and men believe in the business model of what you call as human happiness with Make Love Not Porn.
Sure. So, you know, today, Make Love Not Porn is the world's first and only user-generated, 100% human-curated social sex video sharing platform. So we are pioneering a whole new category, social sex, that's never existed before. We're kind of what Facebook would be if it allowed you to openly, healthily, socially, sexually self-express, which obviously it doesn't. So the way to think about us is, if porn is the Hollywood blockbuster movie, Make Love Not Porn is the badly needed documentary. We are a unique window onto the funny, loving, messy, wonderful, comical sex we all have in the real world. We are socializing, normalizing, and destigmatizing sex, bringing it out of the shadows into the sunlight to promote consent, communication, good sexual values, and good sexual behavior. We are literally sex education through real world demonstration. And we operate completely uniquely. And I want to speak to that, because I think it's important that our listeners understand that everything I'm talking to you about is the future of the internet when it is designed and built through the female lens. And we don't see enough of that because female founders don't get funded. So I designed Make Love Not Porn through the female lens to be the safest place on the internet. The reason that's necessary is because the young white male founders out of Silicon Valley, of the giant tech platforms that dominate our lives today, they are not the primary targets, online or offline, of harassment, abuse, sexual assault, racism, violence, rape, revenge porn. Therefore, they did not and they do not proactively design for the prevention of any of those things on their platforms. And we see the results of that around us every single day. Those of us who are most at risk every single day. Women, Black people, people of color, LGBTQ, the disabled, we design safe spaces and safe experiences because we design platforms not to have any of those things happen to anybody on our platforms. So I designed Make Love Not Porn to be the safest place on the internet because I designed it around what everybody else should have, nobody else did, human curation. There is no self-publishing of anything on Make Love Not Porn. Our curators watch every single video submitted from beginning to end before we approve or reject and we publish it. Nobody else, anyone on the internet does that. We review every post on every member profile. And by the way, on Make Love Not Porn, your profile posts can be as safe work or not safe work as you like, but we review them, we approve or reject them, and we publish them. Nobody else anywhere does that. We review every comment on every video. We approve or reject and we publish. Nobody else does that. We can vouch for every single piece of content on our platform in a way that nobody else can. And that is why we are the safest place on the internet. Imagine the internet with women funded to operate like this. Make Love Not Porn has the power to change people's sexual attitudes and behavior for the better in a way that nothing else can. Right. So over the 10 years we operate as a business, we've heard from our community that we have educated many young people on the fact that porn is not sex in the real world. We have saved countless marriages and relationships. We've helped inspire communications breakthroughs for couples because we're social sex. You watch our videos together. We have helped people with, you know, health issues to, you know, regain sexual function. We hear from people post-cancer, you know, women going through menopause, you know, because again, this is the real world. And so we have on our platform real world sex videos submitted by people who are, you know, going through menopause, sharing the challenge that brings up with sex, how they and their partner accommodate, etc. But what is really amazing is, like any truly disruptive technology, use cases emerge the founder never dreamed of. So what blows me away is not just how well Make Love Not Porn does what I design it to do, but how well it does things I never designed it to do. So we hear regularly from survivors of rape, sexual assault, sexual abuse. We hear from female survivors, male survivors, trans non-binary survivors. They tell us that Make Love Not Porn helped them reclaim their bodies. We helped them feel able to be sexual again in a situation where porn is way too triggering. And we hear this not just from people who watch our videos, but from our contributors, our Make Love Not Porn stars. We have several Make Love Not Porn stars who tell us that being able to share themselves sexually in a completely safe and trustworthy space has helped them process and heal from sexual trauma. And I'm so humbled by that because that's not a use case I ever envisaged. But here's also what's interesting, Dakshin. So I designed to Make Love Not Porn to be fully diverse and inclusive, and we are. But in the 10 years we've operated, we've observed that we are especially a revelation to men. More men send Make Love Not Porn grateful emails, leave appreciative comments than anybody else, because we are something unique that men will find nowhere else on the internet, which is a safe space where men can be and watch other men being open, emotional, and vulnerable around sex. You would not believe the number of men who write to us and say, I just watched my first video on Make Love Not Porn and afterwards I cried. I've been saying for years, I wish society understood the opposite of what it thinks is true. Women enjoy sex just as much as men, and men are just as romantic as women. Yet neither gender is allowed to openly celebrate either fact. We'd all be a lot better off if they were. You know, men leave comments in our videos saying things like, this makes me want to be a better man in the bedroom and in life. We are one of the solutions to toxic masculinity. And so, you know, at the end of the day, Dakshin, you know, our mission is to help end rape culture globally.
Sure.
We help end rape culture by doing something very simple that nevertheless nobody else anywhere is doing. We help end rape culture by showing you how wonderful great consensual communicative sex is in the real world. Our social sex videos role model good sexual values and good sexual behavior. And here's the important part. We make all of that aspirational versus what you see in porn and popular culture.
Right. And, you know, I'm also going to touch upon the last question about you as a personality. You're very vocal about everything you do in life. As a businesswoman, with experiences, I'm sure you're attached with a lot of labels like thick-skinned, cold-hearted, stone-hearted, and so on. Like a lot of entrepreneurs eventually are labeled as, right? How do women and men achieve the Zen mode like you to life criticism? What are your pro tips?
So first of all, nobody has ever called me cold-hearted and stone-hearted. In fact,
I'm sorry.
In fact, profiles regularly comment on how much I'm a nice person. And by the way, Dakshin, you know, I'm rarely asked in interviews something like, what are the three words you use to describe yourself? And my response is always, ask other people. Because I don't, you know, the best way to know what I'm like is to ask other people what they think of me. But what I would say to you is, I encourage everyone, if they've never done this, to take a long, hard look within themselves and identify what they stand for, what they believe in, what they value, what they're all about. Because when you do that, that makes life so much simpler. Life still throws you all the shit it always will, but you know exactly how to respond to it in any given situation in a way that is true to you. Because that is the secret of happiness, living your life and working your work according to your own values.
Right.
And so that's what I do every day. And I don't give a damn what anybody else thinks, because I know that I'm operating according to my own values.
Super. Awesome. Thank you, Cindy. With that, we end the first round of discussions. And now things are going to get a little pacey. And before we call it a wrap, I'm going to eat some questions at you. So in 60 seconds, you got to answer this. Given your experience in advertising, sex tech, and entrepreneurship, 5 tips and advices you have for young women who aspire to disrupt the traditional male-dominated industry.
5 tips is too many. You only need one thing. Don't give a damn what anybody else thinks. That's the only way to live your life and work your work. Do not give a damn what anybody else thinks.
Super. In 50 seconds, how do you envision the future of Make Love Not Porn?
Ooh, basically, my investor deck at the moment has a quote from the original investor deck back in 2011, which says, I want to change the world through sex and make a huge amount of money doing it. So that's the future I envision.
In 40 seconds, what's the most surprising thing you have learned since starting Make Love Not Porn?
Oh my God, I will just say to you that we are surprised every day, okay? Because as I've been saying for years, real world sex is more innovative, more creative, more surprising, more hot and arousing than porn will ever be. And so to this day, when our curators report each week on the latest videos they've curated, we're still going, wow, did not know that was a thing. So we're constantly surprised.
Right. Nice. In 30 seconds, Cindy, if advertising slogans were life mottos, what would yours be?
Well, my slogan is on all my social media profiles. I like to blow shit up. I'm the Michael Bay of business.
Neat. And in 20 seconds, what's the most adventurous thing you have done?
Oh, undoubtedly starting Make Love Not Porn.
And finally, in 10 seconds, what's a unique and quirky habit you have which you're super proud of?
I don't know how to say I'm super proud of this, but I speed read because I was a voracious reader when I was a kid. And so I just taught myself to speed read. And that is an incredibly useful skill. It was at university, as you can imagine. And it has been in the workplace ever since, because I can read and absorb incredibly quickly. And it's just very helpful.
Super. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much, Cindy. Thank you so much for being a part of this awesome conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed hosting you. I hope you had a good time as well.
Oh, yep. No, this is a great conversation. And listeners, if there are any investors out there who get the enormous potential of Make Love Not Porn India, email cindy@makelovenotporn.com. I'd love to talk.
Delightful. Thank you so much for being a part of the show, Cindy. I look forward to having more conversations with you, and best wishes for Make Love Not Porn. And hope you get that investor really, really soon from India.
Thank you very much, Dakshin.
And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to all the audio and video channels of the Deliberate Talks podcast, powered by Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Join me next week for another story. Until then, be curious, be adventurous, and never stop learning. Peace.